Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is part three of your language of the business training. This is Matthew Harris back for today's session. And did you, first off, do what we talked about in the previous module of our training? Did you go through your assignment? Are you keeping up? And if you are, I'm proud of you. I'm excited for you. Today's session is going to be very, very impactful for your business. It's about overcoming objections, all right? And most people in this business, when they first meet up with a couple of objections from their friends, family members, colleagues, a prospect, whoever, it can be kind of a painful situation. And most people end up losing out on having a successful conversation with someone and maybe even getting them to actually still sign up in their business or become a customer, regardless of the objection, because they've never been trained on how to actually overcome objections. And so most people just wilt and wither away when they find objections. You're going to have objections in your business. Listen, everybody that walks into Walmart doesn't buy a product. They may be walking and they're maybe doing some window shopping. Everyone who walks into Louis Vuitton maybe doesn't necessarily buy a product every single time. All right, guys? It's just that's how the nature of business is. The objections may be the same thing at a retail store as you might find in your network marketing business. There might be some unique objections to your network marketing and business as well. And we're going to talk about those, such as, is this one of those pyramid things? You know, or is this one of those things? We're going to talk about how to overcome those and still take control of the conversation in a very powerful and well-poised way so that you can continue to build a successful business. So it's exciting stuff that we're going to be talking about. I can't wait to dive into it. First off, let's start our conversation with talking about objections. And what are they? Well, here's what I found. Over 4 years now being inside of network marketing, building big teams, I've heard pretty much every objection out there. And you'll find that you're going to continue to hear the same objections over and over and over and over and over again, just from different people. So you might as well learn how to overcome them, right? And so one of the first things I've realized for me was that when someone was objecting or giving me something like, you know, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, whatever, it wasn't something I should take personally. Guys, this is something that was really, really hard for me in the beginning to realize. Was that someone wasn't, if they said no, or even if they gave an objection, I would take that personally. I felt like they were crushing me, right? If their objection was about my company or whatever, or my product line, whatever the objection was, I would take it personally. And so my posture would actually then dip. My confidence level would actually go down. And so I wasn't able to really present or respond in a really powerful way because I took it personally. Here's what I want you to realize is that most people are programmed to think negatively. And so if they see an opportunity, no matter how amazing it may be, if they see a product, no matter how amazing the product may be, there's this subconscious pattern there that's been trained since the time they're little children for all of us to question it. And that just means that they need more information. I always say there's two types of people. There are skeptics and there are cynics. I, for one, am a skeptic. I'm someone who the second I see something, I automatically doubt it. And I find a lot of people are like that. Because it's just kind of what we've learned through life. And it's something that I'm working on personally. But a cynic is something completely different. So a skeptic sees something, wants more information. It just means they've got questions that need to be answered. They need more information to help them make a decision. That's a good thing. Most people are skeptics. A cynic, on the other hand, is someone who no matter what you say, no matter what evidence you give them, no matter what it is that you really show them, they have already made up their mind about what it is that they're looking at, and they're not going to be convinced either way. Now, the good news about this is there's not that many cynics out there. They get around a whole lot, so it seems like there are a lot, but there really aren't that many. The skeptics are the ones that you're going to most likely run into the most often. And so a cynic is someone that you really can't do much for. You just continue to be nice to them and continue to maybe drip on them and just go out there and build your business. There's someone that I don't spend a whole lot of time with cynics at all. I don't have the time for that because here's the thing about cynics. They want you to convince them. They want to be convinced by you. They're looking for more out of life. But the way they process things and the decision-making process holds them back. And I think it's really fear at the root of it. I think it really is fear. So their whole way they deal with their own life is by trying to tear other people down. I've run into quite a few cynics in my day, but I've run into even more skeptics. And I love working with skeptics because it means they just need information. Guys, you're just going to find these two types of people. Skeptics you can definitely work with. You can definitely help. So that's the good news. Cynics, on the other hand, there's not a whole lot you can do for them. And so once you've maybe run up against those kinds of people, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about right now. You're probably thinking of a few cynics you've met yourself. Just ignore them. Just like a duck with water landing on its back and just brushing off its back. That's all you got to do, guys. Just let it go and just move on to the next one, all right? But we're going to be focusing on how to deal with the skeptics out there, because you're going to find some skeptics, particularly with our type of business model, as it's not extremely mainstream, all right? It's not taught in schools. It's not like there's a whole lot of, even though we have a huge industry, almost $200 billion in sales now annually all around the globe, almost. We're not there yet, but we're on track. And we've got probably about 500 people around the world in network marketing earning over $100,000 a month. I mean, guys, we have definitely found an incredible, incredible opportunity within this profession, within this space. But you got to understand, most people, the majority of people, which is why we have the opportunity that we have, we're not taught to analyze businesses correctly or not taught to really make business decisions very, very well. All right. So be kind to people. That's the other thing. Realize there's different types of people out there, the skeptics and the cynics, and then be kind to them. If someone has an objection, don't take offense to it. That was the mistake I made in the beginning, and I got into a lot of arguments with people. If you're trying to argue people into your business, you're going to lose out. You're not going to convince them. And here's the thing. If you're convincing someone to do something that they wouldn't have already done on their own, they're going to still have the same thing there in their mind. They're still going to be not convinced. They might just say, okay, I'll join just because you forced them or they felt forced into it. But they're still going to have that main concern there and they'll end up not really having success in the business. So a person that you convince is of the same persuasion, regardless. So I don't get in the business of convincing people. And a lot of times when you talk about overcoming objections, that's what most people think you're doing, is that you're convincing people. Not at all. What overcoming objections is, there's a couple parts to it. But the heart of overcoming objections is you're helping someone look past their fears. That's really what the questions and the objections come down to. It's fear. It's fear communicating to you, look, I don't know if this is going to work. Look, I'm nervous about this. Look, I don't have enough money. Look, the lack. They focus on what they don't have or why something wouldn't work for them. That's typically most of the objections that you're going to get. They fall into the area. Wouldn't you agree? And so it's really fear talking. So your focus has to be on helping someone overcome their fear and realize that the lifestyle that they want, they may be a little scared to dream is possible with your business. But that's your job now, is to help them look beyond themselves at what's possible as well. So if you come into the conversation with the mindset of, I'm trying to convince people to get into this thing, you're going to miss out on it. Really, you're looking to serve someone. You're really going to look to serve them. Now, I'm going to give you some very powerful language processes that you're going to be able to use with people. But if you don't come into that conversation with a servant leader mentality of helping someone look past their own fears, concerns, self-doubt, all that kind of stuff, then you're going to still struggle. You're not going to be able to really, really have the big impact that you want to have. All right. So having said that, let me give you an idea of what objections really are. They're not real. They're not. For example, if someone tells me, I don't have the money, all right, and I hear this quite often, I don't have the money. What that's telling me is they simply don't have enough information. They don't see the value of what I'm talking about here. What do I mean by that? Well, let me ask you this. What's your favorite car? Like, what's your most, this dream car that you have? I'll tell you what mine is. It's a Rolls Royce Wraith. It's actually my wife's favorite car. I saw it. I fell in love with it too. $400,000 car, has incredible, impeccable detail in this thing. Luxury like you wouldn't believe. I mean, the ceiling has like these LED lights that you can actually choose to light up at night, like the installation or like the constellations, not installations, the constellations of the stars. I mean, it is phenomenal. That thing really got me. I mean, really, really love this car. Anyway, so that would be my car. Well, what would your car be? Maybe a Lamborghini, maybe whatever, you know? Think about what your car would be. And let's say that I had that car. Let's say that your favorite car would be the new Lamborghini Huracan, all right? Or maybe the Gallardo or whatever. Or maybe you like BMWs or something, whatever. Whatever your car is, let's say that I came to you today and let's say your business is $500 to join at the top package, or maybe even $1,000. Let's say it's $1,000, all right? Because that's typically the peak in network marketing. Let's say your business is $1,000 to join. The very, very top package, all in. By the way, that's where you want most of your people to start. And we'll talk more about that in the next session when it comes to closing. But you definitely want people to be all in. Okay, so let's say it's $1,000 to be all in on your business. That's where you're going to get the most value, the most bang for your buck, all that stuff. So, all right. Now, I have your dream car, whatever it may be. And I say to you, listen, $1,000 today, by the end of today, and I will give, I'll sell you my car for $1,000. This may be a $100,000 car, could be a $400,000 car, could be $1 million car, could be $50,000 car, whatever the price point, that's not what I'm talking about. In your mind, this is your dream vehicle. $1,000 is nothing compared to having your dream car, wouldn't it be? Isn't it? So why would you not want to go off and do everything you could to find $1,000 so that you can get this car? What would you do? Maybe sell your PlayStation. Maybe you sell your computer. Maybe sell some shoes that you have, maybe some clothes that you have. Maybe you'd go and find a credit card from somebody, a friend. You'd borrow the money. Wouldn't you do whatever it would take, wouldn't you, to come up with the money? I mean, I would, for sure. You're going to give me a $400,000 car for $1,000? Notice what just happened there, though. It's the same price point. $1,000 to get the car, $1,000 to get in your business. It's the exact same price point. The difference is the perceived value. Guys, you've got to hear me on this one. This is so important. When you're talking to someone about the business, if they don't see value in it, it doesn't matter how amazing that business is. It doesn't matter how incredible that compensation plan is. It doesn't matter how amazing that product line is, or your CEO, or whatever, your training system. If they do not see value, specifically value for themselves, they're not going to join you. They have to see value first. And so when someone tells me they don't have the money, I know people have the money. This is especially in today's world. People can find the money. And there's some people that, yes, they may not have anything. They're on their last dime. They may be on the doorstep of homelessness, just like Eileen and I were 4 years ago. I mean, it could be any combination of things, right? But the truth of the matter is, for most people, is that even if they don't have the money, if they saw the value, they would find the money. Because think about it this way. Let's say you didn't have the $1,000 for your dream car, but you knew that if you came up with $1,000, you could get that dream car. Maybe you could sell it and come up with more money, couldn't you? And so the value there is so much higher than just the $1,000. And the same thing is true for our network marketing businesses. Think about it. No overhead, really. No setup, you know, fees really, you know, no legal stuff that you have to deal with just to get your company up and running. You don't have to go through the whole legal process of getting your products, you know, verified by different governments and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about tracking people's commissions and structure, getting leasing an office. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars in value that you get to access in that business, intangible value for just a couple $100, maybe just $1,000, maybe. But that, again, is not going to be something that moves people, because that's something intangible in their head. Okay, yeah, that's great that it's, you know, I can get all that extra stuff for $1,000. Well, the bottom line for most people is, what will that mean for me? That's the value. What's in it for me? That is everyone's favorite radio station is what's in it for me, FM. That's really what it comes down to. And so when you talk about someone with value and you're talking about something that they don't care about, you're going to lose that prospect. So the conversation has to be focused on showing that particular person how this business has value that can help them. And if that value exceeds the dollar amount that they'd have to spend, they will find the money if they have desire. I tell people all the time, I'd rather find someone that has desire than has the money than to find someone I'd rather find someone who has desire and no money than to find someone who has the money and no desire. Desire finds the money. Desire finds the opportunity. Desire takes action. Desire is consistent. Desire is disciplined. Desire doesn't quit. Just having the money doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go off and do anything with the business. So remember that. You're looking for people that are looking for more. And so these knee-jerk reactions and objections from people may come from people that are actually great for your business. Don't write them off just because they give you an objection. Don't think, oh, this person isn't great for my business just because they give you an objection, okay? Don't think like that. So that's why it's super important not to get in arguments with people, because you could lose your best people by trying to prove a point. So do you want to be rich or do you want to be right? Hope you want to be rich, all right? And you'll be able to do that with this business model for sure. So just remember that objections are not real. That someone is just saying, oh, listen, I don't have the money, that means I don't have the value. So what we need to do then as network marketing professionals is dig deeper in the conversation to the real root of that quote-unquote objection. I don't have the money. Okay, well, let's see. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Most people, when someone says an objection like that, they just give up. Oh, they don't have the money, then that person can't sign up, and they try and move on to the next. They think, oh, all right, I'll go on to the next one. That's not the case at all. I'm going to talk with you in a second about how to really work with someone who doesn't have the money. guys, that's actually one of the biggest reasons of why to join the business. So the reasons that are maybe holding some people from thinking they can actually join are the exact same reasons why they must join the business and take it seriously and do something with it, all right? So here's how we're going to talk about this. I'm going to run through some common objections. Before we get to those, I'm going to not only run through these objections, I'm going to walk through the psychology of those objections so you understand what your prospect is really thinking, but also give you my responses so that you can use those in your conversations as well. It's going to be a power pack session. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you about qualifying the objection. So I just shared some things with you about how most objections are not real. I don't have the money, for example. You know, common objections, I don't have the time, or this isn't that. It all comes down to seeing value, all right? And so if you're hearing objections like that, it comes down to painting the picture of what the business can do for that person, all right? And that doesn't necessarily mean telling them. It means asking them questions and letting them sell themselves on why they should be involved. That's what the master's doing. By the time you're done with this, you'll definitely be on your way to mastery. So when it comes down to qualifying the objection, you don't want to let any objection from anyone just be that. You want to qualify the objection. You want to get to the root of the matter. You want to understand what that person really means when they say, I don't have the time. Is this a pyramid scheme? These things don't work. I've tried this before. A bunch of my family tried this. You want to dig deeper than just what their initial response was, because most people's initial response is just a knee-jerk reaction. There's something deeper that we need to get to, all right? So you want to qualify the objection. That comes down to asking quality questions of that person, taking them on the journey, guiding them through their own objection, so they actually end up realizing that their objection is not real too. That, you know what? Yeah, I don't have the money, but that's exactly why I need to get started. I need to find the money to get started. Much different conversation than, oh, I don't have the money, I can't do it, right? So now you've kept their mind open, and I'm going to share with you the questions to use, the language, the posturing, all that stuff. But it comes down to first, initially, not just hearing that objection, but kind of ignoring it and just saying, okay, yeah, whatever. What's the real reason? I got to dive deeper. And you don't say it like that. Here's what you do. When someone gives you an objection, here's what you want to always ask them. Always ask them, because it's going to allow you to go deeper into the conversation. What do you mean by that? And then be quiet. Remember that duct tape we talked about in our previous sessions? This is where it's going to come in very handy. Let someone answer the question. If they say, I don't have the time, what do you mean by that? Most people just let them go. I don't have the time. Okay, you don't have the time, you can't do it. No, barely any of us have the time to do this. Barely any of us have the time, but we make the time to do the things that are important to us, don't we? Most of us didn't have the money, right? Most people joining the club didn't have the money. But most people going shopping, like I live in Miami, and I'll tell you right now, I don't think there was ever a recession in Miami in terms of retail. I mean, you could go to a mall any day here, any day of the week. Some of the bigger malls are packed all the time. You can't get parking spaces there. I hate going to the malls here because of that. And this is true not just here, but all around the place. People are buying things that they see value in, even if they can't afford it. Isn't that true? Have you ever bought something that you couldn't afford? Maybe you stood in line for the new iPhone. Maybe you stood in line for the new Samsung Galaxy or whatever. You saw value in something that you were willing to trade money that you probably didn't even have in order to have in your life. Guys, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to value. The person at the other end of that conversation has to see the value in your business before they make a decision to get started. And so we're going to show you how to do that. But if you don't qualify the objection, if you just let them just tell you that they don't have the money or they don't have this or this and that, or they just give you some objection, you let it go, then you're going to a lot of times miss out most of the people. Most of the people I enrolled after they gave me some kind of objection. Believe it or not, that's really how it works. All right, so you want to ask somebody, by qualifying their objection, you're going to do it like this by saying, what do you mean by that? Whatever objection they give you, I don't have the time. I tried something like this before. Is this one of those things? I don't know anybody. What are some other objections you guys are probably hearing? I had a family member that lost a lot of money in one of these things. I heard, is this something I've seen on TV? You know, all this kind of skeptical kind of stuff. Remember, be kind to people. They just need more information. So ask them, what do you mean by that? If someone says, is this one of those pyramid things, for example, and you say, what do you mean by that? Then here's what you've just done. You've given your prospect an opportunity now to think for themselves, what do I really mean by that? Because remember, most objections are not real. They're just knee-jerk reactions. They were just trained to just give objections. I can't afford this. Most people walk around living through their entire life saying, I can't afford this, but they still buy things that they can't afford, all right? Because they see the value. So you're going to help people do the same thing here and be able to invest in that person, their life, and completely change morale so they can afford things in life. But anyway, before we get into that rabbit hole, let's finish up here. So you're going to ask them this simple question. Whatever the objection may be, make this a rule of thumb. Write this down in your notebook, all right? What do you mean by that? Or tell me more about that. That phrase right there will open up the conversation like nothing else. Now your prospect is going to think, okay, what do I mean by one of those things? Then a lot of times, here's what I'll hear from someone. They say, oh, is this one of those things? And I'll say, what do you mean by that? And then they'll start to think for a second. You know, one of those things where you've got a whole bunch of people, you know, who are, and then like, well, don't you know those things? I'm like, no, what do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean those things? And a lot of times they'll actually start to realize that their objection wasn't real. Now, sometimes people will actually know exactly what they mean. Like, you know, if they talk about one of those pyramid things, all right? Is this one of those pyramid things? What do you mean by that? And don't take offense. Just say casually, what do you mean by that? Oh, you know, one of those things where everyone gets into the, everyone comes into the bottom and they just help make a whole bunch of people at the top rich and all this kind of stuff. Oh, and then here's my automatic response. Is that what you're looking for? No, I'm like, bro, are you into that kind of stuff? No, absolutely not. I would never do that. Dude, then perfect, because that's not what this is. And then just keep moving. Notice the posture there. I didn't say get all offensive. I didn't say, oh, you mean like corporate America? You know, everyone's at the top and all this kind of. No, listen, corporate America is not a pyramid scheme, just so you guys know. A pyramid scheme, just for everyone that's listening to this, just so you know yourself, is a scheme literally set up where people are passing money between each other with the opportunity of making more money with no product actually being exchanged for the dollars that they're actually investing. So a lot of times, if you hear like the Bernie Madoffs and all this kind of stuff, people were investing in the opportunity of making more money when all it was that the people that came in after them were trying to invest in the same opportunity, and that was what was feeding the people who came in first. That's a pyramid scheme. The fact that it has a pyramid in our organizations in business tend to have a pyramid structure, right? Because you want to be at the top, not the bottom, regardless if you're corporate America or network marketing. Either way, it's going to have that structure. But people, when they see pyramid, they start freaking out. And that's just because they don't know any better. They just don't know any better. So when they come into the conversation with the question of, is this one of those things, give them an opportunity to get educated. Is this one of those things? All right. What do you mean by that? Oh, you know, one of those things where, you know, people at the top and everyone at the bottom and one of the top's getting rich, everyone else is going broke. Wow. Is that what you're into? Is that what you're looking for? No, absolutely. I would never do something like that. Bro, awesome. Then, because that's not what this is. And then keep moving. Notice what happened. I just diffused the whole situation by saying, and didn't get any complicated anything more than just saying, is that what you're looking for? Are you into those things? Because I'm not. And now they're like kind of taken aback. No, I'm not into those things. Absolutely not. I'm like, neither am I, bro. No. So awesome. This is perfect for you then, because this is not what that is. Does that make sense? See how simple that is. All you did was say, was that what you're looking for? Well, first off, you started off by, what do you mean by that? So they can kind of dig deeper to flesh out the objection. Is that what you're looking for? No, this is not that. Now, I kind of already started diving into different objection scenarios here. So we'll just keep on going with that. But notice again, my qualifying question is what sets up the response. What do you mean by that? Regardless of what the objection is. So let's run these through several more. Was that helpful, by the way, to know what to say if someone says it's one of those things? Same thing as this is one of those pyramid things. Don't just assume that when someone gives an objection, they know what they're talking about. They don't, most of the time, especially when it comes to pyramid schemes or things like that nature. So, and rest assured, your network marketing business, if you have a legitimate product that people are purchasing and your company's been established for a while, you know that you're with a reputable company, you can hold your head high, and we actually need more of us to hold our heads high about our opportunities. When someone talks to us and says, is this network marketing? We don't need to beat around the bush and say, oh, no, it's this. It's just online marketing. It's affiliate marketing or this. No, absolutely. Say it with posture. Absolutely. And be proud with it. Remember, the person with the highest level of conviction will influence other people. And so if someone asks that question meant to trip you up and you trip, now they have control over the conversation. So we have to hold our heads high, guys. Definitely don't fall back from that one. That's probably one that I don't hear as much after all. By the way, as you start to get more and more success in your business and you start personally talking to people, they see the success that you're having. a lot of them will be like, even if it is a pyramid scheme, I'm going to join you because you're having success, because you've become a level three. So you'll hear less of that particular objection as you move through the ranks of being a level one grinder to level two, the semi-pro to level three, which I call an influencer. Because of your influence, people sometimes don't even they don't care. They want to be part of your business. They want to work with you, all right? So you won't hear that as much. But in the beginning, as you're still starting out, that might be one that you hear quite often. I definitely did, and that was something that helped me to be overcome it. It just came down to posture. Remember, what was our key question again every time you hear an objection? What do you mean by that? Another one is, tell me more about that. What do you mean? So you can flesh it out. And then I gave you my response. Is this one of those things? Is this one of those pyramid things? All right. The common objection. Let's go through some more common objections. Now that we've kind of given you an idea of the process of overcoming the objections, let's walk through some common objections. We've got, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't know anyone. I already talked about, is this a pyramid scheme? Is this one of those things? All right. And I gave you the response for that. Is this network marketing? In the beginning, I was scared. I was freaked out when someone said that. So what I'll say is, yes. Is that what you're looking for? Because I'm not looking to try and convince somebody. If I'm sitting down with somebody and they're having some negative thing about network marketing, all this kind of stuff, and they're actually open to an opportunity, I'll spend time with them. But if they're not open to an opportunity, if they're not looking for something, then I'm going to save myself the time and save them the time too, and get that on the table right away so that we know what if they're going to be an issue with that issue alone, all right? So we want to put that on the table. So hold your head up high. Tell them, yeah, absolutely. Is that what you're looking for? Oh, no, you know, I've tried one of those things before. Now you're going to get to the real objection. Notice, now you get to the real objection when you ask the question, is that what you're looking for? If they say no, remember that's still not the end of the conversation. You can still control the conversation because now they're going to tell you their real objection. They don't have a problem with it being network marketing. They may have a problem with the experience they had before. Maybe they were in a business before. Maybe they had people that they worked with before who lied to them. Or maybe they had a bad experience. Or maybe they just, a lot of times, didn't put in, most of the time this is the case, didn't put in their best effort, right? And they didn't get trained properly, all right? And so you're going to identify these things by keeping the conversation going. Remember, the first objection is typically always a knee-jerk reaction. You want to dive deeper. Even if they say no, and that alone can still be dug deeper into. You want to get to the why. Remember, the why is really what makes the difference here. Does that help? All right. So let's talk about some more things. Again, this person might have said if it's never marketing, I'm not interested. Why? Tell me more about that. Oh, well, you know, I tried a business in the past and, you know, things didn't quite work out for me there. Really, what business was that? And they may name the business and say, okay, I got you. Well, are you still looking for a way to make an extra income? You probably were back then. Are you still looking for a way to make an extra income now? Yeah, absolutely. So nothing has changed since then? Is just you had a bad experience with the previous company? Yeah. Okay, well, if I could show you an opportunity that made sense for you, that you can get excited about and really believe in, would you be open to taking a look? Yeah, I would. Okay, perfect. Awesome. And then so notice what just happened. That objection wasn't real. It wasn't real. It was just that they had some pain from a previous experience or whatever the case may have been. And you can dig deeper to find out exactly what that was and show them how this is different. But if you just give up on the first objection, you're going to miss most of your business. Absolutely, you'll miss it. All right. So let's dive through some more of these. We got a lot of them to cover. I don't have the time is a common objection. Okay. Now, there are some situations where some people say this, I don't have the time or I don't have the money or whatever the case, I don't know anyone. Right off the bat, and it may actually be true. And I'm actually going to tell you that. Now, there are some people that you do not want to enroll in your business. You do not want to enroll lazy people. You don't want to enroll people that aren't just going to do the work. I mean, that are just going to nag on you constantly, or that you promise you're going to build the whole thing for, and just all they need to sign up because you were desperate. Those situations never work out well, guys. So you're looking to build a world-class organization. Keep that in mind when you're talking to people. That doesn't mean that just because someone gives an objection that it is true, all right? By the way, most of the time, it's not true. It's just their perception of it. And remember that they need more information and they haven't seen the value yet. When someone says, I don't have the time, if they're like who doesn't have the time? Let's think about this for a second. Okay, what does this business really take? What does it take to build a successful network marketing business? How much time does it take to really build a business? Anything in life takes time, doesn't it? In order to become successful. Okay, perfect. So if they don't have the time, everyone has 24 hours in the day. No matter how busy people are, if they have found value, they'll make the time, wouldn't they? You made the time to listen to this training. You made the time in your schedule to build your business, didn't you? I'm assuming you're not full-time. And even if you are full-time, you definitely made time in order to build the business or to become full-time, right? So it's, again, it's a knee-jerk reaction, knee-jerk response. And now you'll find some people that have extremely, extremely, extremely hectic work schedules. Those are exactly the people that you want in your business because they know how to produce. And a lot of times, someone who's really, really busy has probably got some influence, has probably got some experience that they can use that'll help them grow a big business pretty quickly. They just haven't seen the vision just yet. So you need to see what it is that they want. You need to get down to the core of their motivators. What is driving them? Why would they be interested in joining the business? And previously, in our previous sessions, we talked about asking those questions, you know, about why they'd be interested in diving into the conversation. And so most of these objections that you're going to see or come over, you can actually overcome early on in the conversation when you build rapport with someone by finding out their real motivators. And it's amazing how once you actually show someone that this business can get them what they want, the objection of time or money or this, this, and that is no longer real because they are so locked in to joining the business because that's an avenue that helps them get to where it is they want to go. Does that make sense? All right, so back to this time thing. All of us have 24 hours in a day. It comes down to what we do with it, all right? Some people really, really are. I mean, like, listen, if someone's on the way to the moon, right, if they're an astronaut and they headed to the moon, they probably don't have time to start talking to people about something else. Or, you know, or if they're in the middle of, you know, so yes, there can be some situations that they don't have the time. But even then, here's what I tell with them. Listen, I know that right now may not be a good time, but you see the value in the business, don't you? Absolutely. One of the beautiful things about this business is what I say is that we really are able to work as a team. So since you see the value in it, you know that for the next couple of months, you may not be able to put a whole lot of attention into it. What if we teamed up? What if we used your resources in terms of your contacts and my skill set to be able to show them the business and I help them sign up underneath you so that now by the time that you're actually ready to get started, to be fully engaged, you haven't lost any time. You've already got a business in place. Maybe you've already got a couple paychecks already that have come in. You already have a head start that can help you get to, and then I start giving off their why. Can help you pay down the debt like you said you wanted to. That help can help you get, you know, put the money aside for your family, give you some more time, freedom, whatever. We can really build this together if we create that kind of partnership. Does that sound like something that would fit better for you since you're so busy? That's something I'm willing to do. And so that's how I bridge that. If they really, really, really don't have the time, I don't give up. I still want them to get started, but I focus on them bringing a list of names to me and I'll call for the list of names. I don't care. I'll sign the people up underneath them because now the more success I can help this new person make, without them having done a whole lot, really just give me a list of names for me to call and maybe make some introductions. And I follow up with those people. I enroll them underneath my person's ID and all that kind of stuff. They're locked in. They're locked in. They're going to see the business growing without them and their vision will start to expand because of that, right? So that's one scenario. Now, that's a minority of the time because very few people are headed to space or are in the middle of something really, really, really time sensitive that they can't put a lot of time into right that second. But that's how I deal with those kinds of scenarios. But the most of the time when someone gives you this objection, again, they don't see the value in it yet. I don't have the time. Yet they're watching TV. Yet they're doing this, this, and the third. You know what I mean? So you don't have to get into an argument with them about, yes, they do have the time. What you need to do is paint the value of the picture. And so I'll ask them, okay, so what's your goal? Listen, I totally get it. I know what you mean. You're busy. Everyone's busy. But if this business really could work for you, what would that mean to you? What kind of income would you be able to make? And I start with that. Oh, you know what? Maybe it can make a couple extra $100 a month. That'd really be great. And I say, okay, what difference would that make in your household to know that you can make a couple extra $100 a month on a side business without having to quit your job? What difference would that make? Oh, man, that'd be great. I could actually, you know, maybe pay down some of my student loans. I could maybe spend less time at my job. I could maybe do this and that. So now they're starting to list off their motivators, the things now, the value that that extra $200 a month in the business could do. Remember, we haven't even talked about the time issue yet. I'm building up the value first before we get to the time. Because if there's no value there, it doesn't matter what the objection is. They're not going to get started. So, okay, perfect. So a couple $100 an extra month. Man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it, to really help you out and like stay off their why again. And then I'll ask this question, where else could you go? If I could show you how to do this part-time with the limited time that you have and make a couple extra $100 a month, where else could you go that you could actually make that kind of income except here? It's not out there. So if I could show you how to make $200 extra a month in the pockets of time that you do have right now, would you be open in at least finding out how you could do that? So notice my question now guides them towards, we've built up the value of what that their goal is, what that extra couple hundred dollars is going to mean for them. I'm getting them to paint the picture of their life with that kind of income. And now I'm getting into this, okay, now let's get into the specifics of how we can do that. But would you be open then? If I could, would you, is one of the powerful things you want to write down. This is a way that you can take any of these objections, whether it's the time issue or any other objection you might run into as well. As you're asking these questions, if I could show you how, would you be open to? So if I could show you how to make $200 extra a month and be able to pay down some of your debt, maybe be able to spend less time at your job, so that you, and just doing this without quitting your job with just the little bit of time that you have right now, would that be something you'd be interested in hearing? If I could, would you? Would you be interested in hearing more about how that would work? All right. Now, notice what just happened. I took the objection and turned it upside down because now I'm focusing on the value of their goal. What it is that they want to accomplish? Not, hey, you know, join me because I'm going to help you become a millionaire or this, this and that. That's not what they want. They want $200 a month. So everything now revolves around that $200 a month. I have to build up in that person an eager desire for that $200. And I did that by helping them, asking them to paint a picture for me of what that $200 would mean for them every single month, what it would be like to spend time with their kids. There's a gentleman that I enrolled that wanted to get started with me because he wanted to work with his, he wanted to be able to spend more time with his kids to go to their baseball games. And so I started asking him questions about this kid's baseball. And I asked him, how did it feel to know that he could, right now couldn't get to those games? I go there, guys. I go there because the if you're in this business, you want to build a massive, massive team. First off, you need to have a massive why about why you're involved in the business. You need to know exactly why. But your team also needs to know exactly why. And that doesn't just happen sometimes. Some people just sign up and they have no idea why. But there are other people that have this burning desire from the jump, from the very, very get-go, that come into the business, that burning desire, and they take action based on that burning desire. So through the recruiting conversation, you're looking to add fuel to their fire already. Not just so they join your business, but they join your business and they take off, all right? So if you just leave these issues, their motivators under the ground, under the surface, that's where a lot of people leave these things. They don't bring them out a whole lot. They don't really talk to people a whole lot about what they'd like more out of life. It can be painful and disappointing. But when you're coming to them saying, look, I can help you do that. Here's a way that we can help you do this. You can be able to spend more time with your kids. What would it feel like to be able to show up to your kids' games and be able to hang out with them afterwards and be able to see that? What would that be like? Getting them to picture that, to see a vision of their life bigger than what they can see right now. They will love you for it, but they'll also link your business up to being their exit strategy, for being that vehicle that can help them get there. This is powerful, powerful stuff, guys, because in this conversation, you're literally helping them see a bigger life for them than they see for themselves right now. That's why what we do is so important, because we break down barriers in people's lives. We give them opportunities to step out of their comfort zone, maybe to start to dream a little bit more than they maybe have been used to, that they've been told they can or cannot do. We give them the opportunity to do that. What you're doing is so valuable. Now, notice what I just did there, guys. I started to paint the picture for you of what it is that you're doing when you talk to people about your business, your products. I started to paint that picture for you. You've got to start talking like that when you talk to your prospects, when you talk to your team. Talk in terms of pictures, in terms of the vision of the impact of what you're doing is making in the market. It's making people's lives. That stuff will go so much deeper into really connecting with people and really moving people to take action. Okay, now, without going too much further down that, you know, we talked about the time and I shared with them, I can show you how to make, you know, I stack the value first. And then came back to that objection, then addressed the objection. All right. Now you may be wondering, okay, so how do I work with someone who doesn't have a whole lot of time? Do what I suggested in the first scenario. All right. Remember, there's two scenarios. One, people who really don't have a whole lot of time. And one, if people just give that as a knee-jerk reaction just because they're just used to saying, I'm busy, I'm running around, I've got all this stuff. When they really are just being busy, they're not being productive. All right. So what I do is I focus on helping them. I show them, listen, we can partner up. You have a list of contacts, don't you? Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Okay, perfect. Listen, shoot me those list of contacts and shoot them a text and let them know. And I give them the script. I give them the same approach. Listen, I was on the phone with a friend of mine, a top executive for a conference going through a lot of growth right now, and he asked, who do I know is looking to make a significant income this year? I thought of you. I don't even know if you're open to that idea or not, but let me get you more information. If you like, cool. If not, no big deal. Now, I ran through that really, really quickly because by now you should have that memorized inside and out, as I do. But I give those words to them to use. They'll text it to someone. They maybe email it to somebody and connect me with that person, or maybe they get on the phone with that person. Just connecting the dots. That's what I'm focused on these people doing. Just connect the dots. Just connect a few people to this. And they'll send me their contact information or whatever. And then I take the initiative enrolling that person for them. All right. And then when I sign them up, I don't personally sign them up through my business. I sign them up by my team member's business. All right. So they get the commission and all that kind of stuff too. So it's really, really cool to be able to do that with people. And they've been able to find some amazing people as a result of doing just that, from people that said they didn't have any time. Because business is really about networking. Networking. That if you don't have the time, find someone who does, and then you bring your contacts to that equation, and some really exciting things can happen. Does that make sense? So that's the beautiful thing about this business. Now, the other part to objections as well is I don't have the money. Again, you probably have heard me say this a million times so far, and I'll say it a million more. It's the value. It's the value. That's all that person is saying if they say, I don't have the money. All right. So what you need to do is build up the value. Show them why this business is important to them and why they need to find the money, and then take it a step further. This is where a lot of people miss out here. This is something that I learned from watching and modeling some very, very successful networkers, was they didn't just let someone say, oh, I don't have the money, and then overcome the objection and try and help them, but then not help them find the money. I actually help people find the money, whether it's to lease or to take their car, to sell something, to sell. I seen a guy sell the title to his took the title of his car to a company, was able to get some the loan money on that. That's because he knew how to do that. I'd never done it, but he knew how to do that. So he was able to get started in the business. I've seen people use credit cards, borrow credit cards, sell clothes, sell things around their house. All of us have things around our house right now that are not bringing any money into us. It's crazy. And then we'll sit back and say, we don't have the money. And no, it's just, we haven't looked at that situation strong enough just yet with enough desire, all right? So you can help people find the money if they have the desire. So what you want to focus on is making sure that this person actually has the desire. And so what I do when they say, I don't have the money. So listen, I can totally appreciate where you're coming from. That's how we were in the beginning, for sure. Is that the only reason you think that you couldn't get started right now, or is there anything else? All right, so now I'm trying to isolate the objection. I want to make sure that they're sold on this, that they are absolutely in, that they have drive, desire, determination to make this thing happen. All right, because if I'm going to spend any time with them, I want to make sure that they're on board too, especially if they don't have the money initially to sign up. And so is that just it? That's the only thing? Oh, well, you know, I'm actually kind of concerned that now we're going to get to the real root of the issue. Oh, well, you know, I've tried something like this before. I just haven't had any success in them, and I just don't know if it's going to work for me. Now we're getting to the real thing. It's not about the money. It's about their belief that they can actually make it happen. Notice that big difference. And so that's what they would say. Then I'd focus on this and say, okay, then I go back to the question. Tell me more about that. Remember? Very same thing. Tell me more about that. Oh, well, I was in this opportunity before, blah, blah, blah. This and that happened and all this kind of stuff. And now they're starting to talk themselves into it. But, you know, I still see the opportunity here and blah, blah, blah. Now I just need to spend more time with them. Maybe get them on a three-way call with somebody else, another success story that can relate to their, maybe had a bad experience, but is now in our company, is having great success. Now I'm starting to connect the dots for them. But notice that objection of it's the money is no longer relevant because we found the real objection. Now, for those people who the real objection is, I don't have the money. They say, yeah, I just don't have the money right now. A lot of times people just tell you, I don't have the money, simply because they haven't made up their mind yet, just so you know. So you want to make sure that you don't just let them off the hook just because they gave you the knee-jerk objection of, I don't have the money. Most people don't have the money when they buy anything, but they buy it anyway, all right? So don't be fooled here. Don't be fooled. You probably bought some things, again, like I said earlier, that you could not afford, but you still have it. It's still sitting in your living room. Maybe you're listening to me on it. All right, to bring that a little closer to home. All right, but anyway, so scenario one is where they actually have a different objection than the money. We overcame that. Second scenario, and this can happen quite common, is they don't have the money. Maybe, you know, this is why that they're looking at the opportunity in the first place, and they know that. And so here's what we do. Is again, you're looking to find desire in this person. You're not looking to find someone who just wants you to pay for them to buy, to sign up, or all this kind of stuff. You're looking for someone who's willing to put in the work, who's driven, disciplined, has some determination to make some things happen. And the bottom line there again is they have their own intrinsic motivation. All right, so what I'll do is, they say they don't have the money. So, okay, is it you don't have the money, or is there anything else that's keeping you from getting started right now? Oh, it's absolutely the money. Now, here's the thing again. Let's get specific. When they say, yes, it's the money. Okay, what do you mean by that? Which package are you looking to get started with? And now I'm starting to go into the close. I'm already looking at closing this person out without the money, right? Because it does, to me, we'll find the money if they have the desire. I want to have get them to the point of making a decision that they're going to join. So I'll ask them the question of, which package are you looking at getting started with? Now, I'm assuming in your company, you probably have multiple packages, one or two packages, three packages, whatever the case may be. So now I'm asking them an alternative closing question. We're going to talk more about this when we get into the closing section on how to actually close like a boss. But I'm asking them an alternative closing question where they're choosing between two options or three options or whatever. They're not choosing between yes and no. They're choosing between an option which are both yeses. In this case, which package are you going to get started with? Notice, I'm assuming that they're going to get started. I ignored the whole fact they said they don't have any money. Which package are you going to get started with? All right, now, when they answer this question, now I've got them. When they say, oh, you know, I'm looking at getting started with the highest package, but I don't quite have the money for that just yet. What do you mean by that? This is where my next follow-up. Well, it's $499. I don't have $499 right now. Okay, I got you. Let me just make sure I'm clear so I can help you the best. Is it that you really don't have the $499 and you're really, really excited to do this? You're really, really fired up, but you don't want to disappoint me by telling me that something else is going on, that you're not really that excited about it. You know, that you have the $499, but you're really not that fired up. What is it? Just so I know, so I can help you. Notice I'm hitting it a little closer and more specific on what the issue is. Now that they told me that it's just the money, I want to identify, really, is it just the money? And if they say, yes, it's just the money. Okay, perfect. Let me ask you this. How much longer are you waiting on letting that be an issue in your life? I understand completely what it's like to not have enough money to do a whole lot of things. And I hated it. That's why I got started. But how much longer are you willing to wait for your life to change? I can't. Oh, yeah? Tell me more about that. And now they're going to start to go into their why, their motivators, what's driving them, why they need to and why they must get started. So that by the time we actually get into a conversation about finding the money, they have serious leverage on themselves. Leverage being, this is something they must do, and they have committed to doing it. So if it's $500 to join the business or whatnot, I'll ask them. Okay, once we've gotten through this, continuing to ask them more questions about why they must, and they're proving to me, they're telling me and themselves why they must do it, I'll say, okay, perfect. Listen, I'm almost convinced, but just, you know, I know it's $499. How much do you have right now to get started? Remember, I'm still focusing on getting them into the top package if the $499 is the top package. And that's one that they're looking at getting started with anyway. How much do you have right now? Oh, I've got $200. Okay, awesome. What's the soonest that you can raise the remaining $300 or whatever? And now they're starting to think about, okay, how can I come up with the money? Before, they simply said, I don't have the money, and their brain shut down. Here's what's amazing about human beings. When we ask better questions of ourselves, we get better answers. But when we simply say, I don't have the money, and we just let it go at that, then we don't have the money. You know, it's funny. Growing up, I grew up in a family where my parents told me all the time, we couldn't afford stuff. And that's not their fault. They grew up in the same families hearing the same thing themselves. Do you know what wealthy families teach their children? They don't say, we can't afford it. They ask them the question, how can I afford it? It's a much better question, which gets your brain thinking about, okay, how can I make this money? I need to make $3,000 in the next 24 hours. Not, oh my goodness, I can't make $3,000 and that's, why do I have to make the question is, how do I make $3,000 in the next 24 hours? I'm just using that as a scenario for making an income, all right? But you have this amazing computer that's worth more than the computers on the planet, more powerful than all of them. It created the computer. And most of us have no idea how to use our minds. We don't even ask ourselves good questions. So help your prospects ask these questions. And let me also say this. If when you got started in your business, if you think that $499 is a lot of money or $1,000 or whatever it is to join your business, if you think that that's a lot of money, then you are not going to be able to help other people make that decision. This whole business is a transference of belief. It's all about communicating your belief with someone else. So if you look at it as, man, $1,000 is so much money, then you're already devaluing it. You're looking at what it costs, not what it's worth. That $1,000 to get started could be worth $1 million to someone who gets into that business and goes off and puts in $1 million work ethic. Make sense? But we can devalue it when we think about how much it costs versus how much it's valued. Business people think in terms of value. They never think in terms of cost. Most of us were never taught that way. So it's, listen, I'll give you a pass for now, but you definitely want to change the way you start to think about your own business, about your own opportunity, if that's what your issue right now. And a lot of the objections that we face in business, if subconsciously those are real objections in our minds, then they will be real for our prospects. What do I mean by that? If you're not convinced that your business is absolutely the best thing out there, if you're not convinced that your business is legal, that it is beneficial to people, that it is the best opportunity out there, then you will absolutely get crushed when it comes down to objections with your prospects. If you're not convinced that your business is not a pyramid scheme, no matter what I just told you to say to people, it may give you a little bit of leeway. It may give you a little bit of an impact with people and with some posture, but it'll be fake posture because at your core, you still could be shaken. You still don't believe that your business is legal. When someone says it's one of those pyramid things, you automatically just cringe, not because you are upset that people are so ignorant, but because deep down you think that your business really is a pyramid scheme. Or if you think that you don't have the money, or that you didn't have the money, and that it's expensive and that it's a massive sacrifice, then when someone gives you that objection, you're going to empathize with them and you're going to say, you know what, you're right. And when you say that at a subconscious level, it comes out consciously in how you communicate with people because your posture is not going to be the same thing. This is so much deeper than just what to say to someone. It really comes down to how do you look at your business right now? How do you feel about it? If you look at some of the most impressive marketers and network marketers on this planet, they have zero doubt in their business. And so you want to overcome objections. That's one of the foundation is believe in it. Absolutely be sold out on it. And in the beginning, that may not be something that you're quite there on just yet. But that's something that if I didn't address right now in this overcoming objections, I would be shorthanding you because that is really drives what you say. So you need to really work on building your belief. Read some more books about the industry of network marketing if you think that the industry is illegal or there's issues and all this kind of stuff. Study it to build up your belief. Go to events. Go to big-time leaders. Spend time with them. See the impact. Go to your company's office. Go to these places to really build your belief so that when someone says something like this, you don't just kind of crumble. You have posture and you have now the words of what exactly to say with somebody. Make sense? Guys, this stuff is powerful. This is why we're going to spend a little bit more time on this session than we probably have in the other sessions because of how important this is. And overcoming objections isn't just something you're going to do after the presentation. You're overcoming objections the whole time because you're focusing on helping this person believe like you believe. So they might have some preconceived notions that you have to overcome. That's just part of the process. So just get over it. It's actually fun when you come to the other side of that belief. When you have that belief in yourself and you know how to communicate with people, it really changes the whole dynamic. So we talked about, I don't have the time. We talked about, I don't have the money. We talked about, is this a pyramid scheme or is this one of those things? We talked about, is this network marketing? I want to talk with you about those people that have had an experience. People who said, oh, no, I've tried one of those things before. I've tried one of those things before. Now, chances are, so have you. Chances are, this is not your first attempt in business or it's not your first attempt at network marketing. Now, if it is, I absolutely congratulate you. I'm really, really excited for you. And I'm going to talk to those who it's not their first time for a second. And if it's your first time, I'll talk with you specifically in a second too. You need to pay attention either way because you're going to be talking to people that have tried things before as well. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but most millionaires made their millions after their 7th to 10th business. That's where most millionaires actually made their money. Now, imagine if they had given up on after the first try, after the second try, after the third try, after the sixth try. Would they have made their millions? Absolutely not. So this whole thing of, I tried something before and it didn't work, this is an experience that people, we've been taught to think that failure is wrong. You know, if you look at a child that's learning how to walk for the first time and they get up and they try, or they see grown-ups walking around, they get all excited. Oh, I want to be like that. You know, I want to learn how to walk, right? And they see us walking around like we don't even think about it at all anymore. And they see that as a child, and they decide, okay, I'm going to start crawling. I'm going to figure this out. Finally, it starts, maybe you remember this, maybe you probably don't remember, but you know what I'm talking about. You've seen babies do this. They start to stand up on their little wobbly legs or holding onto a couch or onto a chair or something like that. And they're just all freaked out, and their legs are going crazy. They can't hold themselves up, and they fall back down. And they try this over and over and over and over and over again until finally they can stand without any support. And then they take that first step, and that's probably really, really weak, really, really unsure, and not been practiced thousands of times. It's just their first step, and they probably fall. You know, you've seen this, haven't you? But they don't give up. Nobody in their right mind would tell a child who's learning how to walk, "Oh, don't keep trying. It's not worth it. Don't keep trying. You're never gonna learn how to walk because you've been failing so much because you keep falling." No one would tell a child that, right? But yet we keep telling ourselves that throughout our entire life, because we become grown-ups and we start to get educated and we start to be taught that failure is a bad thing, that getting a C on an exam is failure. When you actually put your best effort in and you were in a class that was extremely hard for you to learn, some concepts that were really new to you, and you put your best effort in, you succeeded because you didn't give up. The only way to fail is to quit. That's the only way to fail. And so when you're talking to people, you got to realize that you have to believe that first. If you believe that trying something several times over and over and over and over again is actually failure, that you're actually not succeeding because you're failing, then you're going to have, first off, a very, very hard time in business. You know, Edison talks about he tried to find the right combination for the light bulb over 10,000 times before he found the right combination to invent the light bulb. 10,000 times. 10,000. Let me ask you, how many times have you invested in yourself? Maybe stepped out on a limb before. Maybe gone out to try and start a business, be able to create some financial freedom for yourself and failed. You want to know the key to success? Is to fail better every single time. For me, the fear of failure held me back for years, forever. Till I found myself in a place where I had no other option but to go off there and risk embarrassment in my business, in network marketing, to risk failure again, because everything else I was doing had not worked out for me. So I was in a place with my back against the wall. I had to make it happen. There was massive leverage on me to produce results. And that was when the quote unquote magic started to happen, because I didn't look at my previous experiences, my previous failures. I just looked at what I needed to do. I must make this work. If this didn't work in the past, I'm going to learn from that experience, but I am not going to give up. And you, first off, as a home-based business entrepreneur, as a network marketing professional, have to make that decision for yourself. For yourself. You'll never be able to help other people make that decision for themselves until you have resolutely made that decision for yourself, until you've planted your flag in the sand and said, enough is enough. This is the way my life is going to look. This is the way that my life is going to turn out. No matter how hard it gets, it's done. It is absolutely done. You get to that point, my friends, and your conversations with other people will take on a brand new life of excitement and energy that you cannot fake, that you can't fake. All right, but now you need to be there first so that you can help someone take that journey themselves. So if you think that trying things several different times, having tried different opportunities, is a bad thing, and because you've tried several opportunities before in the past, this one isn't going to work, you're holding yourself back. Absolutely holding yourself back. It's like being that little child and saying, I've tried 100 different times to take my first step and I've fallen every single time. I'm never going to walk again for the rest of my life. It's ludicrous. Absolutely crazy. So don't think like adults think. Think like a child thinks. It's more natural and will definitely get you a lot further along in life, especially when you commit to doing that every single day. Look to fail better. Look for each of your experiences when things didn't work out right as an opportunity for you to learn and get closer to what will work right for you, all right? Now, give that opportunity then to somebody else. When they say they've tried something before, remember, we're going to ask them, what do you mean by that? When someone says, I've tried something before, here's the key thing. I tried. Try isn't the same thing as do. It's very, very different conversation. Most people think that they're actually doing something when they're really just trying it. Oh, I'll sign up in this opportunity. I'll hop on that conference call once in a while. You know, I'll check out my back office here and then. I'll listen to this guy, Matthew Harris. I'll get his course. I'll go through the training. You know, and they just perpetually go through this this life cycle in network marketing of just being in the stands. So they're at the game. They're at the big game. But they're in the stands watching everybody else have all the success. That drives me crazy personally. I sat in the stands for most of my life watching other people create the results that I wanted for myself, but I was too scared to go off and get in the game, too scared to risk that I might fail, too scared to risk that I could actually be successful at it. Imagine that. That fear, fear holds so much of us back from ever becoming who we were ever meant to be. And so look that fear in the face for yourself first, and then reach out to someone to help them be able to do the same thing. So now that you've talked to someone, they say, you know what, I've tried things like this before, it didn't work for me. Now you've got a much stronger posture with that person, don't you? Because you realize the importance of having tried things. It's very, very valuable in order to creating success. So when someone says that to you, remember, again, your automatic response is, what do you mean by that? Tell me more about that. And let them tell you about their experience. And so if they say, well, I tried a different opportunity before and things didn't work out, what I'm always looking for is to see if they really put in their best effort. If they, and as you start to ask questions to them, and I'll show you how I do it, they'll start to realize if they didn't put their best effort in, that they really are to blame, not the company. And so now we've gotten to a whole, we've gotten deeper into that objection of focusing on really, they really don't believe that they can do it. That's the key thing there a lot of times. When someone says, I tried something before and didn't work out, it doesn't always mean that they don't trust the business. It means they don't trust themselves. They don't see themselves as being that successful person. That's a much different objection to deal with. All right, I'll deal with that in a second. But let's say that they did put their best and highest effort in. Right, I was in a company, for example, that went out of business. My team, the month before that company went out of business, we were the number one enrolling team in the entire company. I was number two recruiter. A gentleman on my team was number one, and our team had more promotions than anybody else. We didn't know that the company was crashing. We were just going to war. We were out there just doing it, and the whole company fell apart. And I was 8 months away from my wedding. No income at this point, which is full-time in the business. My wife had just lost, or my fiance at the time had just lost her career. And there we are with nothing. Absolutely, at least that's what we thought. We thought that we had nothing, but from that experience, it led us to the next opportunity, which we were able to get up to $13,000 a month inside of 90 days, have the wedding that we wanted, be able to start a life together. So it was absolutely what we needed. If we had actually stayed in the previous company, what's interesting, if that previous company had stayed alive, actually, I don't know how we would have gotten our income to the level that we had gotten. It was that company falling apart, that failure, and the fact that we continued on the journey that led us to the success that we've had. Guys, I'm not here to preach to you, but I'm just telling you this, that so many times we give up 3 feet from gold. We are so close to the finish line and we just give up. And we don't even know how close we are. So we couldn't give up because we had to make it happen. Now, I'm completely losing my train of thought, but that story is here to share with you really the value of continuing on. And so when you're talking to somebody and you're letting them, and they're telling, oh, you know, I put my best effort in, but things didn't quite work out for me. Tell them my story. Tell them that story. Say, listen, I totally know what you mean. There's this guy I know, Matthew. He was, because team blew up right before the company went out of business. The business fell apart. And they were left almost on the doorstep of homelessness, no income, or 8 months from their wedding. And they just decided they couldn't quit. They kept on going, found a new opportunity, and became six-figure earners in that opportunity within a handful of months. And so you can tell stories. Stories are so powerful at helping people expand their vision of what's possible. Maybe there's a story in your company of someone who tried several different businesses before and didn't have success. Maybe you've tried several different businesses before and haven't had success. This is where stories come in. But the key thing here again is posture. Is posture of knowing that just because you tried something before, it doesn't mean that this is not going to work out. It doesn't mean that at all. This is a completely different opportunity. This is a different time, different people. Everything is different, all right? So back to this scenario again. Your prospect says, you know, I tried one of these things before. I'm just not sure, you know, that it's going to work for me because the last company fell apart in us and I was left with a whole bunch of stuff. It was just a bad, bad experience, all right? And so assuming that they did put in the work, if they didn't put in the work, now you're going to have to go down a different conversation with them, and I'll talk about that in a second. But if they did put in the work, and they told you they put in the work, then here's what you got to ask them, and just really be real with them, and just say, well, let me ask you this. Listen, I know what it's like to go through heartache. It's not something I ever want to go through at all. Obviously, we're talking about a different company, rock solid, but listen, I totally understand where you're coming from. But what would it take for you to be solid again on building again? And is there gas in your tank for one more run? Are you completely given up? Have you given up on financial freedom and ever being, you know, better off? Have you completely given up? Or is there still gas in your tank for one more run? And just be honest with them. And that is the most powerful question. Is there gas in your tank for one more? Is there any? If they say yes, there is, but then you still have a conversation with them. You still have a prospect. If they say no, I'm done, then here's the deal, guys. It's just, then what you do is say, listen, I totally respect where you're coming from. I totally respect your experience. I'm going to go off and crush this thing. Is it okay if I continue to keep you in the loop of what's happening? Because I'd love for you to be part of this, especially since you had a bad experience in the past. It's time we write a new chapter in your life, but we'll do that when you're ready. Is that fair? Okay, perfect. Listen, I'll keep you in the loop of what's going on with me and the business. Is that okay? Okay, perfect. And then continue to follow up with them. Every month, 2 months, but keep dripping on them, letting them know the success that you're having. But you go off there and you build your business. A lot of times those people that had that pain, those bad experiences could be amazing distributors if they ever get past that, if they ever get over that experience, if they put everything into it. Now, the people that didn't put the effort in, here's what you're going to have the conversation with them. Okay, listen, I was in one of those things before, didn't quite work out. I'm not really, you know, hip to the whole thing now. What do you mean by that is your question automatically. Oh, well, you know, I was in this company when I was in college or whatever, and, you know, my friends are doing it. It was really exciting, and I didn't make any money. Oh, what happened? I keep continuing the question. What happened? Oh, well, you know, my friends had success, but I was there. I was kind of hanging around with them, and, you know, it didn't really quite work for me. Oh, okay, so did you have a team? Did you recruit anyone? Did you enroll anyone? Oh, well, I didn't really talk to anyone. I was just kind of there. Oh, I get it. Okay. And then, so then what I do is say, listen, I know what that's like. I tell them my story. I was in a company for 3 years. I made $50 after 3 years. But I realized that I made $50 after 3 years because I didn't actually do anything in the business I was supposed to have done. That was my experience. And so I realized if I really wanted more from life, I was going to have to do more from life. So are you at a place now where you're looking for more from life? So I bring it back to them. Are you now looking for more out of life? Yeah, absolutely. Are you willing to put in the work that it requires if it was worth it? Absolutely. Awesome. Let's get to work. And that puts them right back to getting started here. Now, I went back into their previous experience, but I completely showed them how it comes down to the work that they do, right? By sharing my experience. And if you don't have the same story I do, you can just share my story and say, listen, you know, I know this guy named Matthew, super successful in the business, in this industry. And his first 3 years in network marketing, he only made $50. He was around the industry, saw people making money, but he really wasn't engaged in it. And he didn't really get all the benefits of it. It's like anything. You get out what you put into it. So are you looking for more from life right now? Are you looking for more time freedom right now? Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Are you willing to work for it? Absolutely. Awesome. Let's work together. Let's make it happen. Let's do it here. So now you just move them past their objection and helping them realize that they need to put the work in. All right. So you open up their eyes to that new possibility. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff, guys. So what we've done so far, we talked to the common objections. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. The next one is I don't know anyone. We're going to talk about that in a second. Is this a pyramid scheme? We talked about, is this network marketing? I tried one of those things before. The last one here, and again, these are all derivatives off of the same thing, fear. Remember, two types of people, skeptics, cynics. Cynics, we can't do a whole lot for them, but skeptics, we can definitely, definitely love on and really help, all right? Skeptics are the ones that we can really help. Cynics, we let them go. We don't spend too much time there. All right, now, here's the last objection I'm going to give you. And then just so you know, you can use these responses I've been giving you as a template. That is a template for everyone. Now, one thing when it comes down to, before I forget, I talked about network marketing. Is it network marketing? Is it a pyramid scheme? All this kind of stuff. And I talked about, you know, having good posture. But one of the things about that is you have to remember, you don't know exactly what someone else's experience has been in the past. There have been some knuckleheads, unfortunately, that have gone around and told people that all they had to do was sign up in network marketing in a business, introduce a couple of people who would introduce a couple of people, introduce a couple of people, and they'd be rich, right? So they over-promised and under-delivered. Now, can that happen in this business? Yes. Does it happen? I haven't met a single person that's happened for. And I've met a lot of people. It's never happened for me. That's for sure. It's never happened to anyone. I've never seen it happen like that. But can it happen? Absolutely, because the model works that way. But does it work like that in real life? It's real life for a reason, all right? It takes work. So here's one of the things you have to understand. When you're talking to people, you don't know their experience. You don't know what they've been through sometimes. Maybe some people you do know what their experience has been. That should inform your conversation with them. It'll definitely help you with these objections because you're a little bit more prepared because you know what their experience has been. But if there's anyone that's been in networking before and just kind of gave up on it, here's one thing I want to challenge you with. Or if they say there's this network marketing and they have a bad taste in their mouth, then do not force them. Don't force them to take a look if they're not willing to. And this is why I talked about this again, but as I close out here, I want to really recap on this. Regardless if it's network marketing, they're not interested, or if whatever the objection may be, if they are not interested, if they don't have desire inside of them just yet, and you're not able to ignite that fire in them by asking those questions, and you do ask the questions, but they don't respond really well, chances are they're not qualified to be in your business. And just so you know, it's okay to tell someone that this is not for them. It's okay to take that posture of sorting through people. Remember we talked about looking through oysters and looking for pearls. And if you look through an oyster and you don't see a pearl, you know, you don't force the oyster to become a, you know, to give you a pearl. Like, you just go to the next one. So you want to be kind to people through this whole process, but just recognize where they are and just recognize that this may not be the person that is ready for this at this time, because people also go through different phases in their life. Like we talked about with the clock, 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock. If you don't remember what I'm talking about, go to some of the previous trainings that I did about this, to this whole sequence of the language of the business. But that's something I wanted to really reiterate as we close out here with the last one. The last one really is, I don't know anyone. And again, this is just a knee-jerk reaction. It's really just lazy. It really is a very, very lazy one. And when someone says this to me, a lot of times I will kind of think to myself, this maybe not be the person qualified to work with me just yet. And that's just my own personal take on it. But the reason is that when someone tells me I don't know anyone, there's something going on there psychologically where they are looking at the opportunity and they don't believe in it, that it's possible, that it's really going to work yet. That's really what they're saying. One scenario. The other scenario is they really don't know anyone. Like they've really been a hermit. They don't have any social circle. They don't communicate with people, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know who those people are. Like, you know who they are, right? So they're telling you the truth. Now, I still offer the opportunity to everybody. I still give everyone the benefit of the doubt and let their results and what they do with the business dictate their direction. I'm not going to be the one who dictates anyone's opportunity. I'll give it to everyone and let them dictate what they do with it. But someone who says I don't know anyone who would be interested in this, they're looking at this again at the cost. A lot of times that means that they don't actually have the money, is what I found, and they're scared about that. They do have the people, but they're scared of the money part of things that they might lose, and they're thinking, you know what, who are the first three people that I can talk to so I can get my money back? Oh, I don't know three people. You got to understand, when most people look at a network marketing business, that's one of the first things they look at, especially if they don't have any business experience. They're thinking of, how fast can I make my money back? Isn't that true? Haven't you found that to be true in your business? It was for me, for sure. I was like, okay, I signed up four people and I made my money back. Okay, cool. That's all I'm focused on. Because it was all about cost. It wasn't value. I need to make my money back. I need to make my money back. And that's a good thing, because you want people to be motivated about, you know, getting their business off to a fast start. So when someone says, I don't know anyone, what they really are thinking is, like I said, they really don't know anyone, which a lot of times is the minority, especially in the world we live in today, being so socially connected and everything. But there are people that just keep to themselves and are just not interested, and this is probably going to be a tough business for them. Doesn't mean you tell them no, but definitely keep that in mind. But for the majority of other people that are saying, I don't know anyone, they're thinking of, most of the times I found, I don't know anyone that comes to mind that would do this. They're already in their head, kind of excited about it, but they're prejudging the people they would talk to. Oh, Susie wouldn't do this. No, she tried something like this. She talked to me about some of this before. She would never do this again. They're looking at their best friends, their close circle of friends. They're thinking in terms of cost, not value. And they have a very, very small vision of what's possible for them. And so you have to go into that conversation again with the focus on helping expand their vision for themselves and how your business is going to help them do that. So ask the question, I don't know anyone. Okay, that's what they say. What do you mean by that? And be quiet. This one is always fun. When someone says, I don't know anyone, and then they ask them, what do you mean by that? This one always makes me laugh. Because I don't know anyone? Really? Like, you don't know anyone? Like think about those words. I don't know anyone. It's definitive. It also means I don't plan on ever meeting anyone else, which is crazy, because we are, yeah. Anyway, so without going down there too far, it cracks me up. What do you mean by that? And they'll say, oh, well, you know, I have a couple people that come to mind that would do this. Now they're starting to talk about what I just told you, which is they're prejudging people. They're prejudging people. Or they're thinking, oh, well, you know, I talked to people about, I was in a business like this before, and I talked to people about this before. I don't know that it's going to work out too well. Now you've gotten to the real objection. So you've still moved the conversation forward. Through this whole process, guys, whenever you ask that question and you get an answer, you have moved the ball forward. You have moved the ball forward no matter what the answer is, unless they say, I'm just not interested at all. You couldn't get me to do this if you paid me. Like that, then, you know, whatever. You can still overcome that one too, but you're not going to hear that one a whole lot. So anyway, so now they're telling you the real objection, which is they've been in another company and they probably talked to a bunch of people that for whatever reason, they don't think that those people would join them now. Okay, so they're thinking again about the cost. It's going to cost me $500 to get started. I'm probably not going to be able to make my money back. It's most likely what their thought process is. And this is where you can go back to a story. But I like to get a little deeper than that to really get to the heart of it. So I'll say, I was a company before, and you know, and I talked to all of my friends and family about that company. I couldn't imagine talking to them about another company again. I'll say, tell me more about that. What was the company? What was the product? Okay. Awesome. Okay. What made you leave the company? Oh, well, I didn't really have any success in the business. Oh, did you put in the work? Yeah, I talked to everybody, was really struggling with it. Did you have any support? Not really. Did you have any training? No. Okay. Well, what if I could show you how to build this business with our training that we have? We could show you how to build this business without having to go back to those same people that you already kind of talked about before. If I could show you how to do this like a professional with people that you don't know, because you're going to meet new people. We can show you how to meet new people. That's simple. We can show you that part. Would you be open then still at finding out how that could happen for you, how that could work for you? Now, I took their objection, stated it back to them, and then flipped it upside down by saying, okay, if I could, would you, right? So that powerful, powerful sequence of words will definitely play out here. But you have to get to the root of the objection before you just get into that, because you could be blindsided, because it could be something else. Could be, I don't have the money and, you know, I just don't want to tell you that, right? And that's what I found a lot of times when people say I don't have the people, they're thinking money. So I addressed the objection, but I'm still trying to get deeper and deeper and deeper. If it gets down to, you know, oh, well, you know, I've talked to some people before about different businesses or whatever, and I really can't afford for this not to work. Notice what just happened. I really can't afford. They're thinking about what they have to lose. So here's what I asked them then. What is it you really want? Like really, what is it you want to create? What is it that gets you excited? What could this business do for you if it really worked? Is another powerful question. What could this business do for you if it worked for you? Oh, man, it could give me time freedom. I could travel around. I could do all this kind of stuff. I could pay off debt. What would that be like to pay off the credit card? And how would that feel? Can you imagine cutting up? I actually walk people through this, guys. Walk them through the process of them seeing the end result. I really believe that seeing, you know the phrase, seeing is believing? I believe that believing is seeing. If you can believe something so strongly that you see it happen, and that's one of the things, the keys of this recruiting process, is to build someone else's belief. And you don't do that by telling them what's possible. You do that by asking them intelligent questions and letting them tell themselves the answers and answers to you that answers your intelligent questions. And they'll start to raise their belief level. They'll start to raise their excitement level when you do that. Really, really well. Guys, this has been a really a strong session. I hope that you've gotten a lot from it. This is something where you're definitely going to have to listen to this one several times in these several different scenarios and write down the phrases that I'm using for sure. Write them down. If you just were to read them on a piece of paper, you wouldn't be able to really internalize them the way that you do. You need to anyway. So write them down. Practice them, practice them, practice them, practice them, practice these different scenarios. We talked about, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't know anyone. Is this a pyramid scheme? Is this network marketing? I tried one of those things before. These are going to be the major objections that you're going to hear over and over and over again. There's several others that you're going to hear, but these are the core. You master how to answer these, and you handle these with posture, with skill, and with belief. When you've overcome these objections yourself, you can help other people do the same thing, guys. So practice this stuff. Listen to this several times. The next session, we're going to be talking about how to close like a boss. And by the way, by overcoming these objections, by doing this whole process really well that we talked about from prospecting all the way through to where we are now, and we're going to close off with our fourth session, which is how to close like a boss. When you've done all these things properly in the sequence that I've just taught to you, closing is going to be very simple. Most people get punished when it comes to time to close people because they haven't done everything else the right way. But when you do all these things we just talked about, including in today's session, and the closing is just a formality. It still takes posture, still takes some skill sets, and it still takes really some practice, but it can be so much more fun, so much more dynamic, and definitely so much more profitable when you've mastered the first three parts. So if you're not ready to go into the closing just yet, if there's some pieces that we've talked about today or even in previous sessions that you haven't got a good handle on, don't feel any pressure to have to go to the next audio. Review this information, review it. When you're ready, I'll see you in the next one. If you are ready to go to the next audio, then make that jump. I'll see you there in the next audio where we talk about how to close like a boss. So from beautiful Miami Beach, Florida, this is Matthew Harris challenging you until we talk again that you dream and then find a way. God bless.